Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today is a very special show because I'm doing an interview up in here with the members of the Chicago group Channel 3. So you guys can introduce yourselves.
I'm Bobby Thomas.
Jerron Johnson.
And there was a third member of Channel 3 who has since passed away, right?
Right, Leonard Mitchell.
Okay, and you guys, there's only one Channel 3 record, but it's an interesting story, and each one of the members was in another group, so
correct.
It's definitely an interesting story that I thought would be, it's not going to take up the whole show, but it would be a good story to get out on the air. So I guess we should say which groups each member was in. I guess, Bobby, you were later in the Notations, right?
Correct, yes.
And, Jerome, before you joined Channel 3, you were originally in the Trends.
Correct, right.
And the other member of the group was Leonard.
Leonard Mitchell was with a group called the Ideals.
And he was singing lead on the Gorilla, right?
Correct.
So he's a guy saying, go, go, go.
Go, 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 Gorilla, go.
So, I guess you recorded one record, and it came out, I think, 1973, on Dakar Records, I think, like Brunswick Records.
Right.
Subsidiary. And it was called Sweetest Thing, which I think we'll talk about the record, and then I'll play it after we talk a little bit about it.
Okay.
So I want to get into sort of the background. I guess we have two members here, so we could talk about each member's background individually and then talk about how the group formed. So I guess first, Bobby, we already talked a little bit to you when you were up here doing the Notations interview,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't get into sort of your history from before you joined any groups. And Channel 3 was the first soul group you were in, right?
Correct. I was in my background is in gospel.
Okay.
I was with the Thompson Community Singers.
Okay.
I was with the Treadwell Community Choir.
Okay.
And during the time of being with the Treadwell Community Choir is when I started singing with Channel 3.
Okay. So, but originally, we didn't talk about during the Vows interview, but those guys said that you would come by Ruth Moore's house, who was their manager who had a house, and like back in the early 60s and sing with them, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, that was the place, Miss Ruth Moore's house. Yeah.
Okay.
I was a solo artist at that time.
Okay.
And the Vows and all those guys used to come over there and rehearse. That was where everybody came to rehearse.
Okay.
Ruth Moore had her fingers in a lot of artists' lives.
Yes, she did.
Back during that time. Some of the great artists out here, Shy Lights.
Okay.
Several different artists she managed at the time.
So, and you were originally singing gospel and just sort of came by there. Like, first of all, when did you start singing?
When did I first start singing,
yeah.
Period?
Yeah, like, was it in church pretty much when you started?
Well, no. I was in grammar school, matter of fact.
Okay.
And this guy that was a promoter and a producer, his name was, Jesus. Man, you're really shaking my brain. Oh, I can't think of his name now, but
was that the early 60s, late 50s?
Yeah, that was the early 60s.
Okay.
He had a girl group.
Okay.
And I was always a high-range singer, and they needed that vocal, that high-range vocal. So my friend, which this promoter was his uncle,
okay,
heard me and said, well, hey, listen, we're going in to record. We need this vocal. You know, we'll pay you to do this, whatever. The group was called the Duchesses.
Okay.
And it was four sisters.
So they weren't a gospel group. They were
No, they
regular
were R&B
group,
yeah.
Okay.
They were R&B.
And they had you come in and sing.
I came in and auditioned,
okay,
to do the material that they wanted to record.
Okay.
And his last name, the promoter, producer's name was London.
Okay.
I can't think of his first name.
Wasn't Mel London?
Mel London.
Okay.
That's him. Boy, you really amazed me, man.
Yeah, he was involved with the record industry in Chicago. So, but you never recorded anything, right?
Oh, yeah, I recorded one thing with them.
Oh, see, I didn't know. I just learned something.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So you recorded, so the Duchesses had a record out, and
right,
you sang on them. So it was
right,
like a doo-wop type record.
Correct.
Okay, so, but then you sang with gospel groups.
Right. And then I also, from that point, I went to I had a gospel group called the Gospel Teens.
Okay, when was that, in the mid-60s?
That was in the early 60s, too. That was just before I started singing. Well, I was kind of mixing the Treadwell singers and my choir's thing together during that time.
Okay. So then that was in the, like, the you were still doing gospel at that time.
Mm-hmm.
What, you just kept recording or kept singing gospel for most of the 60s, is that right?
For most of the 60s, yeah, until I got tied up with Channel 3.
And that was all the way in the early 70s?
Right.
But you told me earlier that you actually recorded material as a solo artist, too,
right,
before. When was that?
That was during the early 70s, too. I was doing my own production thing at the time, just going out on Bobby Thomas.
Okay.
And I recorded on a label called Hawk.
Yeah, that label was owned by Bob Lee, the same guy who put out The Vows and
mm-hmm.
The Kittens and a lot of other
mm-hmm.
groups. I think his big act was Jimmy Robbins. He had a publishing company called Gerhart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he never actually released the record on you, right? You just recorded for his Hawk label, but he
right.
never released anything.
It was never released.
So, and then eventually, that's your backstory, you eventually got hooked up with Channel 3.
Correct.
So going back to Jerome's story is, I guess we can talk about another time because you were in a whole other group, the Trends, who had a whole big history, which I'd like to do an interview with. But I guess you were telling me the Trends broke up after they left ABC Records. Your contract with ABC Records expired, right?
Yes.
Like late 60s.
Right.
And then you still went around for a while trying to, you know, with the Trends, trying to get another record deal, and you know, you were together for a little bit.
Yeah, it was got to the point where, you know, so many people wanted to tie you up, but tying you up was very bad, because tying you up mean that you were obligated to them for 2 or 3 years, and if no recordings were out there, you couldn't go anywhere else or what have you. So guys decided just to lay low. And we got off of two personal life styles, and we never got back together as that group.
So different members of the group went on to, like, start families or do whatever.
Yeah,
get day jobs.
Yeah.
But you wanted to, I guess you wanted to continue singing, right? Like, so in the early 70s, you initially started, you thinking about forming a group with Leonard Mitchell, is that right?
Right. Mitch and I, that's what we called him, Mitch. Mitch and I both were hungry out there, listening to all the stuff on the air, knowing we were a group. We, from various groups, were him with the Ideals, me with the Trends. We said, hey, we should be doing something, because we're all about rehearsing with each other. So Mitch and I decided that let's see if we can get a group together. Wells Wallace, which you know has been mentioned, knew Bobby.
And
he bought, we decided a date, and we, at the time, Mitch lived in the housing authority buildings, and we decided to meet up at his house one day, and we kicked it from there.
So originally it was just you and Mitch together, and how long were you singing before you hooked up with Wales and Bobby?
Well, we weren't. We was strictly talk. It was just him and I.
Just talking about forming a group.
That's all. There you go.
And then, so the original group was supposed to be you, Leonard, Wales Wallace, and Bobby Thomas.
It was,
right?
Yeah, it was supposed to be a quartet, yes.
And but the listeners don't know, Wales Wallace recorded a bunch of solo records. And he sang with the Steelers in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
but
yes, he did.
But I don't think he was never officially, like, recorded with any group, right? But you were telling me that he liked to start.
Oh, he would start one in a minute and walk away. Oh,
that's,
you know?
Right. Leave you out there, right?
But it was fortunate, because the guys that he put together, when he left them, they all stayed together.
You don't know any other groups that he formed and left, do you?
No, not offhand. But I do know that he did touch several other groups.
Okay.
You know, they may not have come prominent or what have you, but Wells got around quite a bit.
He did.
He got around.
Everybody knew Wells.
He's known in this business.
Okay. So, I guess what happened was you guys formed with the four of you, and then you guys started rehearsing and stuff, and then Wales sort of dropped out of the picture.
Correct.
So he just wasn't as interested in coming by and rehearsing, so you guys sort of developed your own harmony with three people.
Well, he was very unstable. You know, he just wouldn't stay put, man.
Okay.
Right.
Good guy, though.
Yes, he was.
So you guys eventually just started singing together, rehearsing.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you just practice in one of your guys' houses?
Correct. Yeah.
And just doing a cappella type stuff, mm-hmm. just harmonizing. What were the different parts that each person did?
Well, I was top tenor.
Okay.
Jerome was baritone. Mitch was second tenor.
Okay. So and then you guys started. So first of all, you didn't have a name yet, right?
Correct.
So how did there were the three of you, how did you guys come up with a group name?
You know, we were sitting around in rehearsal one night, and we were kicking it for a minute, and the TV happened to be on.
Okay.
And we were sitting there trying to think of different names, you know, all week, matter of fact. And whatever it was that was on TV, it was interfering with our thoughts, you know. So I told the guy, I said, man, turn the TV off or change the channel. He said, well, what channel do you want? I said, well, hey, turn to channel 3. I don't care. And when I said that, it clicked. So that was the name.
Yep, that was the name. Really interesting. Really interesting.
Was there a channel 3 in Chicago at the time?
No, it wasn't.
No.
It was static. It's a totally good group name, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It caught on, really.
So you came up with a group name, and you still weren't, you still didn't have a manager or was signed to a label or didn't have songs yet, right?
Right.
So that was like in the around 72, 73, mm-hmm. is that? So then what's the story about how you got a record contract?
Well, we, through Wells Wallace again,
okay.
we were introduced to...
So Wales had already left the group, but he was still helping you out?
Oh, yeah. Wales was always around, you know, and he was down at Brunswick all the time.
Yeah, because he recorded a couple records for Brunswick around 72, 73.
Right, right.
Yeah.
They used to call him Sir Wales Wallace.
Yeah, I think he later recorded under that name in 74, I think.
Right.
So he hooked you up with Brunswick Records?
Yeah. He put us in touch with Larrell Simon.
Okay.
Who is from the group The Lost Generation.
Yeah.
Now, Larrell was a writer over at Brunswick at that time. And we came in, did an audition for Brunswick. They liked us, gave us a few tunes to take home and learn and come back.
Okay.
And, you know, that was funny, too.
Who did you audition for when you were at Brunswick?
A fellow by the name of Ray Haley.
Okay.
He's dead now, but Ray was... Carl Davis's right arm at Brunswick at
yep.
that time.
And Carl Davis was the main guy running the label, right?
He was the producer for Brunswick, yes.
Right.
Okay.
And it was run by a guy out of New York by the name of Nat Turnipole.
Yeah. So you auditioned for Haley. What was his name?
Ray Haley. Mm-hmm.
And he liked you and he gave you some songs?
Gave us some tunes to do. Matter of fact, the one that you're going to play... was written by Eugene Record of the Shy Lights.
Okay.
And once you hear it, you'll hear that Shy Light flavor in there. We kind of changed it up some, but you can still hear that. You know, that's funny about producers. If you're a good producer, no matter who they produce, you'll hear their sound, you know?
Yeah, Brunswick definitely had a sound, and they reused the songs a lot, too. Like,
oh,
all
yeah.
their artists recorded, like, some of the same songs. And
Correct. So they gave us a list of about 7 tunes.
Okay.
We came in and we started rehearsing these tunes, and what was ironic about that, the tunes that we felt that they were going to like,
okay,
they didn't like. They went down in the list on some of the tunes that they had given us that we had just kind of just went through,
mm-hmm.
and Carl Davis pulled Sweetest Thing.
Okay.
He says, this is the one. And, it, you know, it really shocked us because we didn't put any effort on that tune.
Okay.
But he ate it up, you know. So we went in the studio and cut it, and it was woo. It was nice.
Yeah, you got nice harmony on the record. Like, I think it works really well.
Thank you.
Yeah, like, it starts off with the harmony.
Oh, yeah.
You guys singing
yes,
it.
Yes.
Jump right into it. Yeah, jumps right into it. Right.
So, actually, I'll play the record, and we'll talk a little bit more about
okay.
the group. So, this is Channel 3 with their record Sweetest Thing.
She's the sweetest thing I've ever
Okay, that was just Channel 3 with their record Sweetest Thing, which is a really nice record, like nice harmony. Should have been a hit if it got the promotion that it deserved. It's too bad, like a lot of nice records just, you know, didn't get the promotion.
Hit to the curb.
So I guess what was happening was you were on Brunswick Records at the time, and there were just too much other stuff going on, right?
Right. You know, back during
The Shy Lights were the big act on the label.
Yeah, the Shy Lights were very big. Gene Chandler was there.
Artistics.
So their roster was quite full when we got there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And but what I like about it is once we got there, they took notice. You know what I mean? And a lot of companies back during that time were into write-offs.
Okay.
And we came in the door doing the write-offs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely with that record, because it's so, like, first of all, it's one of those records where the promotional copy is much more common than the actual released copy.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that they gave away more copies to DJs and or, like, pressed more copies just to give away than they did to actually sell.
Right.
So they definitely didn't put much effort into trying to sell. So most of the copies of that record only have Sweetest Thing on both sides of the record and don't even have the other song, which we'll play in a little
bit.
So you can tell that they didn't put much effort into promoting it or distributing it. So I guess what you just couldn't get hooked up with the right people to get them to promote it, or what happened?
Well, you know, once you sign with a label, it's strictly up to the company as far as whether they're going to promote it or not.
Okay.
That's why. You know, when I talk to young guys that go in the studio now, they, you know, record companies will tell you, well, hey, man, you know, we'll record you 10 times a year. Now, to a new artist, that sounds exciting. Hey, man, we're going in the studio. They're going to cut us 10 times this year. But what they fail to understand is they can take you in the studio, do 10 tunes on you that night.
Yeah.
And put that stuff on the shelf. Not one time did your contract state, we guarantee to promote your product.
Yeah.
See, this is what they forget.
So did you actually record a lot more songs there, too?
No, we only did those two tunes.
Okay.
That's what it went with the flip side. That was it. We took, we had poor teachers to get them to flip it.
Okay.
Know? Right.
So and the DJs couldn't even flip it because they gave the DJs a copy with one song.
Right. They knew what they were doing.
First of all, one person we didn't talk about was Larry Blazengain, who was in your group.
Blazengain,
I'm sorry. So was he in the group from the start, or what happened?
Larry came aboard a little bit later. He was he was quite busy. He's actually the predominant guitarist for Jackie Wilson.
Okay.
And
he was a guitarist on a lot of Chicago records. He worked with Clarence Johnson.
Yeah, he worked with the Artistics.
He even recorded his own records as Larry and the Hippies.
And the Hippies, that's right. Back during the day.
So he actually became like a member of your, like, he wasn't singing, but he was with you all the time.
Right. He was the one that provided that music.
So was he hooked up with you before you signed to Brunswick even? Or when you signed to Brunswick, because he was on Brunswick. You said he was with Jackie Wilson at the time.
Right.
But he
wasn't signed to Brunswick.
But he was doing stuff with Brunswick.
Just the three of us were signed to Brunswick, but he was our guitarist. So
okay.
We, later on, we just put him in the group.
So he was your guitarist before you went to Brunswick Records, though?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so how'd you get hooked up with him?
That's amazing, because once again, we go back to Wells Wallace.
Okay.
Wells knew Larry and the Hippies.
Okay.
And he knew we needed a musician.
Okay.
To handle our music, So he brought Larry aboard, said, well, hey, we want to introduce you to Larry Blazengain. Larry was hot at the time, because he had a unique style.
Yes,
you
he
know,
did.
Very unique style.
Is that his guitar that I'm hearing there on the track
it.
That the
That's
beginning?
It.
So he got hooked up with you, too. Did you guys ever write original songs that you tried to record?
We wrote a lot of original material.
Songs.
Okay.
We've got stuff that was never recorded at a record company, but material that we laid tracks down on ourselves that are still in the can. That I'm thinking, seriously, by me being with the Notations, I'm thinking seriously about going back and looking at some of that material and see if it can be salvaged.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of good songs that just, because you were with a record label that wasn't willing to promote you, you just got lost. So you guys, did you do shows also, like once you formed? Or
we did several shows. There weren't too many.
Okay.
But we did do several shows.
Okay, so I guess I'll play the B-side of the record, and then we could talk a little bit more.
Okay.
I don't have much more to play because there's only these two records. But the B-side of the record is a cover of Someone Else's Arms, which is originally like an A-side for Barbara Acklin. Is that
correct?
Right?
Correct,
yes.
Barbara Acklin was another Brunswick artist. I'm sure everyone remembers
Love Makes a Woman.
But she recorded that as an A-side, and Brunswick, like we were talking about, likes to reuse all their songs and reuse the material and the backing tracks even.
Matter of fact, she and Eugene Record wrote this tune. Mm.
Yeah, she was married to him, right?
No.
Wait, she was married to, wait, she wasn't?
Not that I recall.
Oh, well, then I'm just confused, so.
you know, it might have been.
No, I'm probably wrong. So, but then the Shy Lights also did this record, too.
Right.
It was the B-side of another one. There's a B-side of Stone Out of My Mind, actually, the Shy Lights record. But so your version and the Shy Lights version probably came out around the same time, both as B-sides.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll play the record, and then we can talk a little bit more about the group. So this is Channel 3. With Someone Else's Arms.
I want to say goodbye. I want to say goodbye.
Oh, my heart. Just won't let me.
So afraid of losing you. Ooh.
Oh, baby, my mind just won't let me.
Oh, you got me wrong, and I love you now. Oh, one day
I'm gonna fool you, and I'm gonna go straight. Won't let me.
I won't speak words of love to another.
These old lips, baby, they just won't let me.
Oh, you've done me wrong, and I know you know. I've got so much love.
And it's got to show. And
someone else is.
Someone else is on.
Someone else is on.
Someone else is on.
You'll be sorry.
Yes, you will.
You're gonna be sorry.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Here's to the pain.
Here's to the pain.
You brought me. And
here's to
so
the
that
pain.
Old ring. Here's to the tears.
Here's to the tears.
I tell you, baby. Most of all, here's to the time I've wasted.
Someone else is on.
Someone else is on.
Someone else is on.
You'll be waiting.
You're gonna be waiting.
You're gonna be sorry.
I wanna let you go.
Won't let me.
I wanna give you love.
Oh Lord, this pride inside me just won't let me.
Someone else is on.
Someone else is on.
Someone else is on.
Someone else is on.
You'll be waiting.
Yes, you will.
You're gonna be sorry.
Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today we're doing a special interview with the remaining members of Channel 3 up in here. So that was just your guys, the B-side of your record, Someone Else's Arms.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Great tune, man.
Yeah, it was a really, you had a real nice harmony on it. It had a Shy Lights kind of feel, mm-hmm. too, the harmony that was on it. So that ended up being your only record. So what happened with Brunswick Dakar? Like, you were just there and you couldn't get the promotion?
Brunswick started to kind of go their separate ways. You know, artists started leaving and stuff.
Like, yeah, that was near the end of their...
Yeah,
like, I think they
reign, as you would say.
Yeah, like, there's weird stuff started happening by the mid-70s, yes, yeah.
Like with a lot of record companies at that time, on Record Row.
Okay. Yeah, well, definitely in Chicago, all the places started drying up. That was a story about, with so many groups we talked to up here that, you know, by the mid-70s, they couldn't get a record label or because they were just leaving. The clubs were leaving.
And, you know, it amazed me because Chicago was the capital of music at one time.
Yeah, everything came through Chicago.
And a lot of people in the industry and in the business felt that it would regenerate itself, and it hasn't. And, you know, it's a funny thing because we have a lot of great talent here in Chicago. We have a lot of great groups. Now, right now, the only groups that you hear of out of Chicago are the Shy Lights, the Dells, the Notations. Basically, that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and there were like, maybe, like, there are dozens and dozens of groups.
Oh, it's a lot of acts here, you know. And you know, I run into a lot of different guys from different groups, and they're saying, oh, yeah, man, we're trying to get our thing back together, you know. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard because these guys been away from each other for years, man, and, you know, everybody got their own problems and what have you.
And there's not even, a venue to... Like, they could get their group back together, but what would they do? You know, they need to do shows, they need to record, but
that's
where would
right.
they do them?
That's right.
So, but I guess you actually asked to be released from Dakar after you didn't get the promotion.
Right.
So that was around 73, 74.
Mm-hmm.
So around that time, what, you were just started shopping around for another label and you just couldn't find anything? Or?
Well, I went back into production work on myself.
Okay.
And while I was involved with that, the Notation situation came along.
Okay.
And it was history after that.
Okay. And Jerome, you just sort of left music after that?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I went into a professional field.
Okay. And you work for the city of Chicago now, right?
Yes, Department of Water Management, yes.
Okay, and what happened to Leonard after that?
He had great talent. He, far as drawing, what have you, he always had something to do and what have you.
So he became an artist, actually?
Well, actually...
he was an artist all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
But once our demise came about, he went into it full time.
Okay.
And then he went to church.
Okay.
You know, and started devoting all his time in church. He was singing in church. I didn't know how much. I heard when I was at his funeral, the songs that he sang with the choir.
Okay.
You know, he was really involved in church out in Maywood is where his funeral was. And that's where Mitch wound up in before he passed.
Yeah, it's good that he was able to keep involved with music.
Mm-hmm.
When did he pass away?
Oh, Mitch has been there about a year now.
Ooh, 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah, about 2 years, yeah.
About that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely he recorded a lot of great songs, both with the Ideals and and with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's that's most of what I have to say. We have to say because there's only one record to talk about. Actually, one thing I want to talk about is your record is actually very collectible right now over in England.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that, like, they look for records which didn't sell over there. You know, they start paying a lot of money for them. And your record, because it didn't get the promotion, is a rare record. So paying a lot of money for your record. I know that they're bootlegging it, and like I've seen bootlegs of the 45, and they probably put on a lot of CDs, so you should definitely, you know, hunt those down, and at least, you know, it's great that the material is out there, but you should try to get royalties from those records, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I guess one of the main people not getting royalties is Eugene Record, though, because he was the guy that wrote the record, too.
Oh, yes.
But you guys probably should be getting, like, performance
fees.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you know, there's so much bootleg out there now, man. You know, man. You know, being with the Notations, we just went through a situation with Cliff Curry on copyright infringement.
Okay.
And he just got a nice lump of money for a guy infringing on his copyright.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, it's great that the people are recognizing the music, like they like the music a lot, but they need to make sure to not step on the artists.
That's true.
Who made the music.
It's a cutthroat business.
Yeah, but in England, I'm sure lots of times, like, there are, once they think the artists are lost too, so like once people come out of the woodwork,
and then
they're excited to meet the original artist.
I'll tell you something else about overseas too. You have a lot of guys over there impersonating these American acts over there.
Yeah, but they're mainly impersonating, like, the Drifters or something.
Oh, yeah.
There's not. I don't think there's a fake Channel 3.
No. I wish.
Be like, you're not Channel 3.
Right.
So, anyways, I want to say thanks so much for both you guys coming down here. And I hope Jerome comes back to discuss the Trends, because the Trends have a lot of excellent records that I'd like to get the story out and talk about. And is there any final thing you want to say? Or,
well, on behalf of Channel 3 and the Notations, we thank you for your support through the years. And we will be coming at you, as the Notations, we will be coming to you with more great music. So stand by.
Yes. Okay. Pleasure being back. Wow, I missed the years being out there. It's good to hear people pull your coat and tell you the records that we did. Like I said, the one, as well as me with the Trends, they really enjoyed the records.
Yeah, people in England especially, I mean, collectors all over, but, like, people, you know, looking for those records now, so. at least it's good that maybe it took a long time, but somebody is appreciating the music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess you guys will be hanging out here for a little bit at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if people can call up with questions if they want, the number here is 773. 773-